Are you ready to sell more books? I'm Brian Cohen.
And I'm Claire Taylor. If you're ready to get your books into the hands of the right readers
and make some more money,
you've come to the right podcast.
And now it's time to talk tips, tricks, and news to help you sell more of your books. Hey, everybody, and welcome to another episode of the Sell More Book Show, episode 428. I'm Brian Cohen from Self-Publishing and Email Marketing, joined by Claire Taylor of FFS Media. Claire, it is a lovely day, a hot day, I'm sure, where you are. How are you doing on this fine day?
I'm doing great. I'm just chugging along, getting my Kickstarter ready, going through feedback from people who previewed it and writing so many emails. I mean, so many emails. And I was like, I have to add some sort of useful content to each one. So I'm like writing a whole email series that's going out with it on top of the actual emails. And it's a lot, but it's the way that felt right for me. So I'm getting it done.
Good. You do need to send a lot of emails for these sorts of things. And so the more you can do ahead, the better. You're doing the right things that must be done.
Thanks. I will take a little external validation for sure at this point.
Good. Yeah, I think yours is going to be great. I think
yours is already going great.
Mine's going great. Yeah, no question. Mine is going great. I think your post the other day about the beginning of The Boys was something I really enjoyed, and how that connects up with Huey and his Enneagram type six. And I thought that was really fun. I love that show. And I'm interested, when you get to the later seasons, if you think that certain character choices remain within that Enneagram type.
Yeah, that's always fun to see if they actually stick with it, or if it was just a like gimmick and he was just kind of a stock character. But it's fun. That show is fun. I am so upset that people didn't recommend it harder to me, because it is right up my alley. It's got like Kilhaven Police got vibes.
Binge, now you've got binge potential.
Oh, absolutely. And next week that I have off, absolutely binging The Boys the whole way through.
So much blood.
So much. I love it.
Awesome. And that comes up on July 5th at kickffs.com. Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. And if anyone saw the post on The Boys, that's the kind of thing that I'm writing in this email series that I'm working on. So if you're on my email list, as I'm running my Kickstarter, you're going to get a lot of info on the different types of hero's journey for each type of protagonist based on their Enneagram type. That's the nerdiness I've been up to.
I love that kind of stuff, because I think people always worry with things like Hero's Journey that it's just going to be the same story over and over again. But Harry Potter and Star Wars are very different for reasons.
Right. Yeah. And I mean, a lot of the Hero's Journey, like the little points in it, can kind of be thrown out and it can kind of be distilled down to a few major moments, which is what I like to do, because I guess I don't like things complicated. But yeah, so that's what we're doing. We're just doing a few of the major touchstones of the hero's journey for each type. And it is so fun. It's so fun.
That is great. Now I'm excited, and definitely go check out the email series and go check out the campaign. And yeah, well, I, like we said, we're figuring it out. You won't be here next week. I won't be here the week of the campaign launch, but it's going to be great. Everything's going to be great. Mm-hmm. Just keep telling myself.
Everything's going to be great.
Okay. And you brought up my Kickstarter, which over 300 backers to this point. Thank you to everyone who listens to the show, who has backed that. This was a short, like 16-day campaign, short campaign. So it's already about halfway done. If you want to make sure you get the early access book, and now we hit a stretch goal, so everybody gets an audiobook. So they get to hear, if you like hearing my voice on the show, you'll love hearing my voice read the book. So, but yeah, that's at kickyouremail.com, and definitely go check it out before it expires on June 30th.
Awesome. I can't wait to keep watching it. I love watching people's Kickstarters.
It is fun. During the webinars I've done for it, I've tried to have the page up live so people can see if they contribute, see the dollars go up. So there's that little scratch off TikTok live sort of thing.
Get that scratchers vibe.
Yeah, I should just do that. I'll do a scratch and win on TikTok and but have the Kickstarter next to it. Well,
you're a smart man, Brian Cohen.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I learn from good people who tell me things from TikTok. All right. Well, let's get into this week's show. The question of the week last week was, have you written in more than one genre? And if so, did you run into the similar issues of extra time being required to start out? Jackie Walker said, my first works were poetry, essays, memoir, but now I'm working on a fiction piece. And yes, I am finding that I need extra time, and building the stories and characters are a lot slower than when I wrote my memoir.
And then Keith Hedger said, quote, I've written in three genres, but only published one genre. I need to get back to the others and get edits done. But yes, it was hard to switch gears from near future military science fiction to fantasy and space opera.
Yes, I could see that. And Joanna McKethan said, answer might take a year. I really like that. Yeah, I think that some have had very detailed experiences about writing in multiple genres, but you saved us some time there, Joanna, which we can put into writing in different genres.
Perfect.
Exactly. She was really thinking. Mm-hmm. Okay, let's go into the tips. And you are up first. Here we go.
And now on the Selmore Book Show, it's the tip of the week.
The ideal plan. Effective planning may help to stave off burnout before it happens. In a post on her blog titled Top 3 Planning Tips for Indie Authors, Audrey Huey recommends making a brain dump a weekly activity, writing ideas, plans, and goals on a sheet of paper until you can't write anymore, then taking all that data and organizing it into priorities, categories, and deadlines. Whatever your plans, plan to be flexible. Being flexible means easily adjusting when something comes up without being upset or mentally derailed because plans changed. Finally, get crystal clear on what you want for your life and what makes you happy, says the author. A great question to help you get to the real answers and develop real goals is this. If money wasn't a concern, what would your everyday life look like? For more tips on how to reduce your stress as an author, see Huey's blog post. If the thought of planning for less stress makes you happy, check out her Kickstarter for her upgraded Ultimate Authorship Planner. Quote, this planner and this Kickstarter is all about helping every author find a system and a set of tools that works for their unique situation and challenges.
I need systems for this sort of stuff. So it's always nice when people are saying, here are some systems.
Right.
This, of course, is all very fun to decide on what you would actually want to do with your life if money was not a concern, because I actually just watched a TikTok of a friend of mine who has had some great success on her books lately and wonders, well, I like my job. It's work at home. It's not bad. Pay is good. It is like a B. It's a solid B. But I like the writing, which would be an A, but there's the security matter to think about. And so it's like those situations come up for folks, hopefully as much for you as it did for my friend there. But those situations do come up and you have to kind of decide, well, what will I prioritize in this moment?
Yeah, it is hard to know, but it is a good exercise to ask, what would you be writing? And because some people don't even think about that. They just assume that what they want, maybe they think about it for a split second, but they assume that the story they want to write would never sell.
They might think that.
And okay, maybe it won't sell, but maybe it will sell. And then you're going to pick some other story to write and you think it's guaranteed to sell. Ain't how it works. So there's a lot of considerations there. And like you said, you got to kind of know what priority is going to fill you up the most.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think that a lot of authors don't think they can plan. They don't think planning is possible for them. And so they pants the writing and the marketing and the production of the book. But I love stuff like this to let you know that, no, it's, you don't have to assume. You can question the premise, as Becca Syme says, question the premise that you are not able to plan things, and then, you know, check out this post and stuff like it. I just backed Audrey's Kickstarter earlier today. So definitely I will be checking out these plans and see if they resonate with me. They might not, but it's always worth a shot.
Yeah. And I like to think of planning not as like, can you plan and can you not plan, but how far in the future are you able to comfortably plan before the anxiety of sticking to the plan becomes too much to actually execute the plan? So, you know, like I will make 2 months out, a plan for 2 months out. I'll have kind of a general, maybe 5-year, 2-year plan. But the actual production thing is about 2 months out is what I'm comfortable with before I start to overplan and get overwhelmed by all the plans. And then within that 2 months, I do have to have that flexibility. But some people, it's like, I can plan a day in advance. I can plan what I'm going to do tomorrow. Or I can sit down at the computer with no plan and plan what I'm going to do for the next hour. And that's about as far as the person can plan. So it's kind of like, how far is your tolerance for planning into the future? But everyone can plan.
Yeah, I think you're absolutely right. But yeah, that anxiety can definitely kick in if you go too far, or if you're already too loaded up and you try to do more planning.
So, yeah. And tolerances change it depending on your life situation. So sometimes I have to go just seat of my pants, just sit down and plan what I'm going to do each day. And then sometimes I'm like, all right, I'm ready for, like, I can't go on until I see what's going to happen in the next year. It's all in flux.
Yeah. If not only like there's any
consistent.
I know. Not like there's any ambiguity in our world.
I know.
Thank goodness.
Good thing everything's consistent and nothing seems on the brink of destruction.
Nothing at all. All right. Let's go into this tip number 2, discriminate minute. You need a pricing strategy for your books. And the key word is discriminate, says publishing and author strategist Joe Solari. Quote, while it may seem harsh or unsavory at first blush, price discrimination is the most valuable strategy you can apply as an author, end quote. Many authors price their books based on how other authors have done it and without a clear understanding of the pros and cons. Take a 99-cent price on Amazon because you only make 30% on a book priced at 99 cents. Reducing your price from $3.99 means you need to sell 7.98 times the books to see a positive value. If you think the 99-cent strategy will create that much demand, then do it. If not, consider a better strategy. Let's begin with the simple strategy that provides the most power, says Solari. Launch your books at full price and keep that strategy until your existing audience is exhausted, end quote. Once you've earned a fan base, your dedicated readers will buy at your regular price. When sales start to dip, price discrimination allows customers to determine what they are willing to pay. Quote, a customer that is only willing to use subscription services gets the product later or a limited time, as does the bargain shopper, end quote. For Joe's take on when and when not to use KU, how often to do price promos, and how to determine the lifetime value of a reader, see his blog post at joesolari.com. So I wish there was a better term than price discrimination, but I understand what Joe is saying here. So that is something that I think so many authors for so long have done the low price book one. And when things like advertising and marketing costs have come into play, it totally exhausts the possibility of 99 cent and sometimes even a $2.99 book one from actually leading to profitability. So I absolutely think that Joe's on to something here. What are your thoughts, Claire?
Yeah, this is a whole thing that I have been thinking about a lot lately that is just exhausting. But it really is a matter of what I've seen is that people aren't testing their price points. They're doing whatever someone in the industry who seems to know what they're doing is telling them to do.
Yep.
And for a while, that advice was predominantly 99 cents. And that is insane.
Yep.
That is what we call a race to the bottom. And it just completely bankrupts people because you cannot turn a profit on that unless you have 1,000 books and one takes off. Like, it's just, do you want to be making your money 35 cents at a time? I don't. Yeah. I want bigger prices. You know, I want bigger tickets is what I want. I even like making my money $2 to $4 at a time is exhausting after, you know, so many years. So like, we have to be thinking as authors, how do you put together bigger ticket items? And that could be something like Kickstarter. It could be something like selling bundles direct. It could be anything that gives you, that you, that makes it so you, that you don't have to scrounge your money $1 or $2 at a time. Some people can do that if they already have an established audience and they're taking off and they have a huge list and blah, blah, blah. But you don't know the tolerance of your audience for pricing until you test it. It may be that you're pricing way too low and you could charge a dollar more a book and sell the exact same amount. And then you would just make a lot more money. Like, so yeah. Really, there's no reason there. And there's really never been a reason as far as consumer tolerance, why indies can't be pricing higher, because like traditionally published eBooks are priced really high. And if you could get a big enough following that respects you and is going to go buy that book on release day, launch it at $9.99. You know, like if you can do that, do it. So you're making actual, you know, money off of each sale and you're not having to just do it a dollar at a time. And, you know, cost of living is getting expensive. Everything is getting expensive. We have inflation. If you're just planning on leaving your book prices the exact same and not testing anything out, then that's kind of on you. So really coming up with a strong strategy, you know, Joe talks about this, is there's no reason you have to launch for free because you already have the incentive of get it first, get it soon. You want it. These are the people who want your book very quickly and they want it as soon as they can get it. You don't have to discount it for these people. So just being smart and also valuing your product a little bit, because your super fans value it.
Yeah. I mean, it makes me think about when Chris Fox's book, Right to Market, came out. 20% of the people who read Chris's book saw, here is a system to write in a genre that you like, where you have the opportunity of selling based on evaluating the tropes and doing all that stuff, based on my case study with military sci-fi. And then 80% of the people who read the book started writing military sci-fi. And so there's a difference between take the advice and copy. And taking the advice requires work, requires effort, requires the testing, as you said. And so please don't just assume that something out there is the right thing to do without you experimenting on your own.
Yeah. I mean, I remember when people were like, oh no, you don't want to charge like $3.99 for a book.
Yeah.
You know, and now it's like people are bumping it up to $5.99. The books that used to be $2.99 are now $5.99 and people are still buying it. And those authors are just making more money. So yeah, you have to test. It's not always going to work, but you can't be completely adverse to risks, because if you are, that, you know, you don't have to be a big risk taker, but you have to be willing to take small risks to test. Take a book that is not selling well yet or is selling pretty consistently and just change the price for a week and see what happens. You can always change it back. There's very little that can't be undone in this. So the pricing strategy is huge. And we don't talk about this very often, but I'm glad we have it today.
Yeah. And we have another one later on. So we'll make this the pricing show. All right. The price is right for you to go third.
A gathering of great groups. Many writers are loners, but that doesn't mean we don't still need people at times. Quote, let's face it, too much alone time can be, well, lonely, writes Sarah Quicken for Draft to Digital. Quote, when the going gets tough, it can be challenging to remain accountable and engaged if there is no one else to bounce ideas against or answer to. That's where writing groups and online communities come in, end quote. Quicken recommends that authors looking for a membership organization, start with Ally, the Alliance of Independent Authors. I hear they have some good guides. They are a nonprofit dedicated to excellence in ethics and self-publishing. In addition to their educational content, Ally fights tirelessly for the rights of indie authors. NINC, or Novelists Incorporated, is a thriving community of published novelists who host a popular annual conference attended by over 1,000 members. Looking for free and online? Check out 20 Books to 50K and Wide for the Win, both on Facebook, with thousands of helpful, experienced members. If you want a more traditional style writing group, consider Camp NaNoWriMo, an offshoot from the November's NaNoWriMo that takes place in April and July. Critique Circle is great for getting feedback on your work, and Skybophile is, quote, the writing group to join if you want to find beta readers, get the best feedback around, learn how to get published, and be a part of the friendliest and most successful writing workshop online, end quote. No matter what your author goal, there's a group just for you at draft2digital.com.
That was a lot of groups.
It was a lot of groups. And, you know, your mileage may vary.
Yeah, not every group is going to be for every person. I think that there are people who really enjoy certain tone and feeling of the people around them. And that's going to be vastly different from group to group. I know that with my groups, I always try to make them very, very positive, very encouraging. And I think there's also groups where it's like our way or the highway. And some people appreciate that it's that hard line. And so that's great. I think that it's good for people to be open to what kind of group they're actually looking for. I think in the beginning for me, I loved being on K-boards, but then it got a little too intense. And so I moved from kind of K-boards to some various Facebook groups, had my own Facebook group in there, but also really enjoyed connecting with the 20 Books community, especially at the events. I really like events. And so I think that now we have our group that we really enjoy sharing all the show stories on at the Sell More Book Show after party. And so there's a million groups for every different kind of person.
Yeah, definitely. Know what you are looking for is my first bit of advice on that. Know exactly what you're looking for. And then second, if the vibe is off, just leave.
Yes. Yes.
Probably no one will notice. And you don't have to tell everyone you're leaving. Just get out of there.
Yeah, I could not be more in agreement with you. Awesome. Well, let's go into the top five. And I am up first.
It's time for the Sell More Book Show Top 5 News. Number 5.
Done deal. It's official. Spotify has now completed its acquisition of Findaway Voices, reports For the Record. Quote, we believe that audiobooks in their many different forms will be a massive opportunity, says Spotify CEO Daniel Ek. Now, with Findaway officially part of the band, we are looking forward to innovating, growing, and rethinking what the audiobook market can be together, end quote. Findaway Voices has been a leader in helping independent authors and small publishers distribute their audiobooks beyond Amazon, Apple, and Audible. Findaway works by distributing audiobooks across the entire spectrum of stores, streaming services, and public libraries. Many in the industry predict that Findaway's technology will enable Spotify to expand into the rapidly growing audiobooks industry. Spotify recently announced its entry into the audiobook market, and Findaway's technology infrastructure may allow them to quickly scale while simultaneously providing new avenues for publishers and authors to reach audiences around the world. Quote, chapter one begins today. They totally stole that from one of my ads because I've done that. In a related story, the audiobook industry grew by double digits for its 10th consecutive year, according to goodereader.com. So we've talked about this a few times. It's now official. The dump truck of money has backed up to Will Dage's house and dropped it all in hopefully an empty swimming pool. But in all seriousness, Claire, we've talked about it a few times, but what do you think? What do you think is going to be the first inkling that, oh, Find a Way is throwing some major cash around here?
Well, I just love Find a Way and Find a Way Voices. I mean, I love my audiobook distribution with them. I'm really excited that I'm going to be able to get into Spotify very easily. I might not even have to click any buttons to have my audiobooks there, which would be awesome. So yeah, I think this is a good partnership. I'm excited about it. And I'm really excited to have a company that's bridging from podcasts to audiobooks.
Yes. Yes. I know that was the big thing we talked about. Because if that is very seamless, hopefully, I don't know if you're doing audio for it, but reclaim your author career and then self-publishing it with Amazon ads can be just linked to Sell More Book Show like that.
Yeah. And I have a series that I have an audiobook that I am building an audio play for. So that has been in the works for a while. And it's just like, oh, this is perfect. I can use that as a lead magnet into my audiobooks and build out that IP a little bit more. So I think if you're an author and you're maybe getting tired of just the churn and burn of books, you could consider different formats of your story world. How could you do it as an audio production and not just an audio book, but you know, how could you do some sort of episodic show for it? Something that leads into your other products. So I think this is just great for creatives and writers.
I would cameo in your audio play if you had it. I was once in an improvised radio play show that every week we would do an improvised radio play. And so,
well, we need I'm all kinds it. Of weird criminals for this one. Yes. So
yeah. Oh, don't worry. I can do that. All right. Let's go into number four and you're up.
Number four.
Creative Kindle Countdown. The Kindle Countdown deal has entered a new era for authors in Kindle Unlimited, according to the 5-Minute Indie Author Focus. In the past, authors running a Kindle Countdown deal on their books had to be careful only to present the sale price to readers in the US and UK. But that's changed, sort of. While Kindle Countdowns are still only available in the US and United Kingdom, a recent change allows authors to manually lower the book's price in other markets, so readers there aren't left out. Step one is to schedule the Kindle Countdown, which locks the price in for the UK and US. Then manually change your other marketplace pricing to your desired sales price. You will still have to settle for 35% royalties for those markets, but your readers in those countries will thank you.
This is great. This was always one of those things that is like, just so you know, only part of the world will get that discount. It's and it's actually led me to, even though I got fewer royalties, just say, well, I'm just going to lower it manually everywhere. And then that'll be my discount. But if you want to run the Kindle Countdown deal, you now have the ability to make tweaks elsewhere, which is great.
And you can get that 70% on the US and UK, which tends to be most people's primary markets.
Yes, this is true. This is true. Yeah, I think especially when you're doing things like list swaps and when you're doing things like advertising, you don't know which non-US people will actually see, non-US and UK people will actually see your deal. So you don't want someone angrily emailing. This is a good potential solution for that.
Right. If you've been running ads internationally, you're probably going to have an international audience. Yes. So that is not something you want to then anger.
Yeah.
You've worked so hard for it.
Yeah. We don't like angering people. Well, I guess it depends on the people, but all right, let's move on to number three.
Number three.
Court with a catch. Protecting your copyright in court can be a big expense. The Authors Guild estimates the average cost of copyright suits are $400,000, often a lot more than the value of the property in question. And there's no guarantee of success. Quote, it's a situation that for many creators renders their rights under copyright essentially unenforceable, writes Victoria Strauss of Writer Beware. But the potential good news is that there's now an alternative. The Copyright Claims Board, CCB, not to be confused with CCR, opened for business on June 15th. The CCB is a small claims court just for copyright disputes with damages capped at $30,000 and without needing an attorney. The CCB can hear three types of claims: copyright infringement claims, claims of misrepresentation in DMCA takedown notices, and claims seeking a declaration of non-infringement if you are falsely accused. As great as this sounds, there's a catch. Quote, participation is voluntary, says Strauss. That means the other party can simply decline, which means it's court or nothing. Quote, on the other hand, it's possible that avoiding court with its huge legal fees and possibly much larger damage awards will be as much an incentive for infringers to cooperate as it is for creators to use. I don't know about that last point. Maybe. I think people like to just pretend these problems don't exist. And then if they get screwed in the end, they get screwed in the end. But it's nice that there's at least something out there, but maybe this voluntary participation might not really work.
Yeah, I can't imagine why any other court proceedings aren't voluntary. It seems like it would work so well.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, anything other than murder, just make it voluntary.
Yeah. Do you want to see the judge? No, I think I'm good.
Okay. Your choice.
Let's just pretend this never happened.
It was your choice. But it does seem like a step in the right direction in a way. There are so many of these cases.
There are. And the fact that it's so expensive, I had no idea that the average copyright suit is $400,000. Like, no thanks.
Yeah.
Even $30,000 would be a lot, but that's just the cap. So yeah, maybe it'll work. I would hope that it is, but like you're saying, it's a step in the right direction that there is some easier, like lower cost option. And maybe some of the rules and the voluntary nature of it will change.
It's possible. I certainly hope so. For the purposes of people actually being able to face down these issues, I think it's terrible just the things you see of people. Like, I have a friend who had a book on a computer that was stolen. The computer was stolen, and then they published the book. And it's like, the things people will do to try to make money. It's like, oh, what's on this computer? A book. Is it any good?
I mean, like, well, I think if we polish it up with a few rounds of edits, we could probably get this puppy ready for publication.
I'm going to research Kindle Direct Publishing after I've stolen this computer.
That just seems unbelievable. Like, if like one of my author friends was having anxiety, like their computer got stolen, they're like, they're going to publish my book. I'd be like, no, they're not. I guarantee you they're not going to publish your book. And yet we have one example that now is going to freak out everyone who gets a computer stolen.
Yeah. Yeah. We'll edit that whole story out. Nobody.
Just leaving the part of nobody's going to publish your book.
Full stop.
Full stop. Full stop. All contingencies accepted.
Everything will be okay. All right. Number two coming up, and it is you talking about me.
Number two.
Book Launch Plus. Many authors today are relying on multiple but related streams of income versus books alone. Joanna Penn talked with author Brian Cohen about how he uses Kickstarter as another income stream, launching his books, upselling special editions, courses, and bonus services to fans, and all before they launch on retail stores. Quote, as authors, we really get focused on this $2.99, $3.99 book, says Cohen. And yes, we can sell enough copies of that to live on, but we need to sell a lot, end quote. Rewarding readers with extras and bonuses is a fun way to sell more than the book itself and even make extra money than you could from a launch alone. One big benefit of using Kickstarter to fund your book is that you can end up with lots of content that you're able to reuse later. Courses, downloads, audios, and special edition books don't have to be exclusive. Quote, you do a Kickstarter and you launch the book and all the extras, says Cohen. But once they're made, end quote. Cohen's recently launched his book, Self-Publishing with Amazon Ads, on Kickstarter, raising over $20,000. His latest project is his book, Self-Publishing and Email Marketing, which funded in just 19 minutes and is already over 300% of its goal. This Cohen guy, who does he think he is?
The nerve. When I sent this to Roland as, hey, if there's room for it, we can squeeze it in. He sent me the dodgeball. That's a bold move, Cotton. Let's see if it pays off. GIF, which was absolutely the appropriate. I really think that the strategy, this is why I talked Joanna's ear off about it, but I think the strategy of Kickstarter, it's misunderstood in a way, because if you create something as this special edition or as a book that you're just launching on Kickstarter, it doesn't mean it's over. It's not like, well, I made this much money or sold this many copies from the Kickstarter. Now I will never sell this product again.
Right.
But it's the exact opposite.
It wasn't over. It still isn't over. That's my only Ryan Gosling impersonation you're ever going to hear on this show. It was a good one. The line was, my impersonation was not.
It was all perfect. And while I will say that I definitely feel stressed all the time during this Kickstarter, because mm-hmm. that's what you do, I'm so excited for after the fact, because as I've talked about on the show, I am going to be experimenting with more direct selling. And you can bet I'm going to be selling the Amazon Ads book, the email book, and all of the kind of bonuses and benefits we created on my website. And so everything ends up having a second life. And I think that you absolutely have the ability to do this kind of thing as well.
Yeah, definitely. There's a lot of cool ones for fiction. I know you and I are doing nonfiction for our Kickstarters yes. right now, but there's a lot of cool options for fiction. So I think Kickstarter lends itself very naturally to nonfiction, because usually when you write a nonfiction book, you also have some sort of other offerings behind it. Right. And so you can do those tiers really easily. But with fiction, just the same, there's all kinds of ways to do it. And if you're not sure what those would be, or you need an inspiration, like, just go browse Kickstarter.
Yeah. Yeah. No, absolutely. I think that, and there've been very successful fiction ones of late as well. I've seen multiple authors getting over $1,000 for their book that maybe would have earned them $500 60 to 90 days later.
So. Yeah. Yeah. You can get those expenses back real quick before you even launch on other platforms. It's great. I love it. I'm excited about it. And I'm very grateful to people like Monica and Russell, and even Dean Wesley Smith has a course on it. Everyone who's been trying to sort of get the momentum going for authors on Kickstarter.
Yeah, no, yay for them. They have done great work. Awesome. Let's go over to top story of the week. At least I didn't make myself the top story.
That's true. You are so humble, Brian.
So humble. Number two. here we go.
And now the number one top five news items.
The business of writing. Authors can be so focused on writing, they forget they are also a small business. Quote, ignoring the business side of writing is like ignoring a dirty diaper, says author, podcast host, and definite dad, Thomas Umstadt Jr. Quote, it doesn't make it go away. It only makes it worse. End quote. So what are the common business mistakes that trip up today's author? One of the biggest is ignoring taxes, business, and paperwork, which will often cost you more later. Budgeting, or lack of, is another mistake. Not having a budget can mean overspending in certain areas and underspending in others, which, like a bad cover, can doom your book before it even has a chance. Another mistake is not treating your writing like a business to the government. Quote, sometimes it is only a matter of a few minor tweaks and you can turn your writing hobby into a writing business, says Umstadt. Writing in a more business-like manner has benefits beyond just taxes. It can help you become a better writer faster, end quote. Being in business also means keeping track of expenses, having business bank accounts, and making things official, like forming an LLC or S Corp. Finally, don't neglect having a business plan. Quote, authors who fail to plan to fail, says the author. A good plan will help you avoid costly and expensive mistakes, the kind of mistakes that can torpedo a career. So obviously some doom and gloom there about, well, you better get this right. But he's got points. We definitely should not ignore taxes, should not ignore separating our personal expenses and our business expenses. These are things I was not good at the beginning, and talked to smart people, got an accountant, and was able to make sure I was above the board with those things eventually.
Yeah. I mean, when you're just starting out and you aren't really making much money, it's not as urgent, but it's always right. important. And it doesn't take that much time to get it set up. So like right. when I, you know, got the fear of God in me about it, it took me about 2 weeks to get everything set up. And
yeah,
and it was good. You know, then you kind of know what you're doing, and maybe you need to hire some people. Maybe that's one thing you learn, that you are not the accountant type and you need to find someone. Right. Or you need to have someone else do your taxes or whatever. But yeah, it will give you peace of mind to know that you are working above board. That's definitely it.
Yeah. No, I think that when you are making, I don't know what the cutoffs are in various countries. I know that in the US, it's something about $600 a year. When you're making over that, the government is going to expect some kind of tax thing to occur when you're filing your taxes. And so definitely if you're just in a couple hundred dollars a year, it's probably not worth you freaking out over. And this is me as a non-accountant saying this, but I think that once you get to a certain point, you really should take a little bit of time, and not just so that you don't pay penalties and on your taxes and everything, but also because there is something about saying, I am official. This is an official thing, not just a hobby. I am a business. There's something to that that can be very validating.
Yeah. And maybe you're making a couple $100 a year right now, but plan ahead for when you're making more. Yeah. It's always good to sort of let your financial plans lead the way, like create the buckets before you try and fill them, right? Like you want to know where your money's going before you have it, so you can just put it straight there. That's always a smart idea. But yeah, it is stressful. And I just realized I'm going to have to file quarterly taxes right in the middle of my Kickstarter. So that's a bummer.
Well, you can get it all set up ahead of time.
Yeah, I will. Maybe. Yeah. We'll see.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, it would be nice if I did, but we'll see how that manifests in reality.
I hear you. Awesome. Well, we need a question of the week here. What is your favorite Brian Cohen moment? Just kidding.
Yeah. Just kidding. Highlight reels.
We had two stories on pricing. What are you thinking on the pricing?
I want to know what people's thoughts are on pricing. I don't know.
What do you usually price a book at when you launch it? And based on what you heard in today's episode, would you consider changing that price in the future?
Okay. Sounds good.
And any other pricing concerns or things you might have in your brain? We have a potato.
Oh, potato.
Oh, potato. It's a wise potato.
I'll take it this week. I keep passing it off, and I just had, you know, potato egg and cheese taco before this. So I'm in the potato mood.
In the potato mood.
Now I just have to think of a hot potato wisdom. Of wisdom.
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 Whiz.
Dumb? Wisdom? Are we on to something, Brian?
I think we're on to something.
My wisdom is, let's see, what wisdom have I come upon? Oh, I took a break recently. I took 5 days off just for other things, for various reasons. And just found that I was ready to come back, which I was not. Yeah. I've been like juggling too much. I've been dealing with stuff. We've got a whole dog circus over here happening, just daily visits to the vet kind of thing. So I was not feeling it, but that break, man, it got me far. And then watching the boys, I was like, oh, This is why I love storytelling. I love to be able to do this kind of thing and do whatever I want. So that really helped me get back in touch with the joy of writing, I guess. So sometimes stepping back is very, very helpful. And obviously I plan it into my schedule, but sometimes you just need extra time off.
Yeah.
Can't just be the scheduled time.
And you need to schedule enough to begin with, which few of us do. But when you realize that you need more of it, it will be not very beneficial if you don't have that extra time.
Right. Because the past couple of days, I've just been killing it. I've just been getting my work done, knocking things out, feeling good, unstoppable. And I had not felt that way in a while. But yeah, I think we have a tendency to always underestimate how much rest we need and overestimate how much work we can do before we need a break. And so, you know, the more you can kind of get into that mindset of like, well, what if I just take a break when my body tells me to take a break, or take a break when my mind tells me to take a break? Maybe that'll help someone.
I loved that. That was very wise. It was smart. I think you're right. Awesome. Well, sorry you have to wait another whole week, just like we all have to wait about a week and a half for the last two episodes of Stranger Things, season four to drop. But we've been very happy to do this episode for you while you wait for Stranger Things. And so if you are interested in finding out more about how the Enneagram can help you reclaim your author career, go to kickffs.com. If you are interested in finding out how I can help an author to go from shiny object syndrome to complete long-term focus, as I do in the book Self-Publishing and Email Marketing, you can go to kickyouremail.com. And Claire, anything else you want to bring up here?
I will be on my break next week, so I hope you and your guest host have a great time, Brian.
I think me and Rocket the Cat will have a wonderful, wonderful time. I don't know who's going to be guest hosting yet, but we'll figure it out. It'll be wonderful.
I'm sure it will.
And we'll miss you. So for Claire, I'm Brian. Have a great week of book selling, everybody. And we will talk to you next week for episode 429. Bye.
Bye.
Thanks for listening to the Sell More Book Show. Visit the website at www.sellmorebookshow.com for detailed show notes and subscription information, or to send us news or comments for use on the show. Also, please take a moment to subscribe to the show and leave us a review. Thank you very much for listening, and happy book selling.